So how do we put this whole thing together? One conclusion that we came to was that it's not that easy to understand what a person who's diagnosed with cancer is going through and how they see their lives, how they see the cancer, how they see the potential treatment. Even for oncologists, people who are taking care of patients with cancer every day, to be able to understand the concerns that these people have and the focus that they have is a challenge for all of us. And a lot of people found these data surprising. I mean, this ended up in USA Today, for example. It's fascinating to think that somebody would go through chemotherapy for a 1% reduction in the chance of remaining free of cancer. But patients tell us over and over, and particularly interesting patients who are also physicians, that you just don't understand, you know, what it's like to be in this situation. So I think this survey is another reminder of the fact that people who are diagnosed with cancer are in an unusual space, and we have to try to understand where they are and meet their needs individually. Clearly, the findings as it relates to trade-offs are very interesting, but I think we also have to take into consideration the fact that this study does have limitations. We know that patients or people who participate in surveys like this are more likely to be doing well. As you can see, most of these people are free of recurrence. The education level is higher than the average patient. The age is younger. So we know that this may not be typical of the overall population of patients who are treated. But our goal here was not really to do a definitive scientific behavioral science study, but rather just to stimulate thought and really to gather some input that we can use in our education platforms, such as this one right now, where we're reporting this data to you. Another thing that we thought was interesting from the point of view of physician in practice is the information we found out about what people expected about chemotherapy and then experienced. We find this to be maybe a helpful reminder that people are getting information from all different kinds of sources, including other patients, and a lot of this information may not be relevant. So that perhaps it's worthwhile to talk to people about what their expectations are, what their knowledge level is, who are entering this experience, and perhaps try to head off some of the concerns that people have, not all of which really may be justified. However, if you really take a step back of this whole project, we think the message that comes through is the fact that there's an opportunity here to help these patients by providing supplemental information. And that's why we designed this pilot education program, to see whether or not we can come up with something that is going to be useful to patients. And specifically, what we're going to be doing on the next phase of this project is to take this patient education program that we've developed and evaluate it with people who are actually going through the process of being diagnosed with cancer of the colon or rectum, having adjuvant chemotherapy recommended, and then going through the experience. And that's what we're going to be doing this year as part of this project. But to get another take on what we learned here, I met with Dr. Norman Walmark in Orlando the day we presented these data. I love talking to Norm about these controversial issues. He tells it like it is. And he's been a big supporter of this project since the beginning, and he's always kind of got a little bit of a thorn in his side about the differences in how people approach breast and colon cancer. Of course, the NSABP, those are the two tumors that they focus on. And Norm always gets irritated by the fact that breast cancer seems to be ahead of colorectal cancer. And I think part of the reason he wanted to sit down with me to chat about this is to be able to verbalize his thoughts about this controversial issue.